time to go to the big screen with Gail Edmonds. Hello, Gail.
Hi, Africa.
Before we review the movie today, just a note, actually, on how the coronavirus is having a devastating impact on the industry. The biggest news, of course, is the delay in the release of the latest Bond movie, No Time to Die. That has been moved out to November. And I read literally a few hours ago that the South by Southwest Festival, which is a big film festival in the United States, that has had to be postponed or cancelled because of coronavirus.
Yes, absolutely. It's definitely having some interesting... I mean, Italy, half their cinemas are closed, and apparently they're looking at a system to try and do something in the cinemas where they sell every third seat and then leave one behind and one in front also free so that people can still go to the cinema but not sit. Because you're supposed to... They've also been advised to sit 1 meter away from each other in public, the Italians. And meanwhile, the French have also banned... sort of gatherings of 5,000 or more, but the Cannes Film Festival is sure they're going to go ahead, and they said that their biggest venue only holds 2,300, so they're going ahead. Apparently the press accreditation went out Friday morning, so they're moving forward. And interestingly, there's 10,000 cinemas in China that were closed, and this, I think, is the big one, because, you know, two-thirds, I think, of the profits of some of these films come out of the market, so not out of America anymore. So it's quite an interesting knock-on effect that you might, you know, they're saying that that they're projecting like a $5 billion loss in the film industry. And of course, for those of us who like to go to the movies and are willing to take the coronavirus risk, it will be very bad if they delay Wonder Woman and Mission and apparently they had to postpone filming of the new Mission Impossible movie in Venice, because of course Venice is so there are lots of and they, of course the film people are saying, oh, but now the streaming services are going to take over, which I think that's a little over hysterical, because people still like to see certain films in all their glory. I certainly do, and I can't be the only person.
No, you certainly are not. And by the way, I do need to remind listeners here that both Stay Kenico's Cinema Nouveau as well as the new Metro at the V&A Waterfront is closed for renovations, because the V&A Waterfront is imagining a new experience for movie lovers. I can't really share the detail because I was given the information not for public consumption, but they're not closed because of coronavirus, or closed because the big screen movies are no longer making money. They're closed because of renovations that they are making to both cinema complexes, and they should be back up again in a few months' time. But to the movie in question, Guy Ritchie hasn't really had a string of very successful movies of late, and people have gone, what are you doing? He's gone back to a genre that he knows and knows very well, and it's both the strength and the weakness of this movie, The Gentleman, isn't it? Where it feels dated at times, but you can't help but laugh because this is something so familiar.
Well, I think that's the thing. It's that Guy Ritchie, I mean, he made Aladdin last year, which was the most un-Guy Ritchie thing in the world. And he made A Man from U.N.C.L.E., which I loved. And he did the Sherlock Holmes. But what he's gone back to now is his sort of his original 1998 Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels and kind of his shtick, you know, which is the fast-talking, quick editing. You know, he throws together all these gangsters with a very complex plot. And in this case, he does try to change it up a little bit with this one, where he has a fabulous character played by Hugh Grant called Fletcher, who's a very sleazy PI who arrives at the henchman of this sort of London gangster. His name's Mickey Pearson. Matthew McConaughey is also very good as the American who goes to Oxford, and instead of ending up in some sort of, I don't know, banking career or something, ends up growing marijuana and becoming the big dog in Britain in the marijuana trade. And now he's looking to sell out because obviously it's going legal soon, and he's obviously got blood on his hands. So he's looking for a buyer with clean hands who can take it over and buy him out so that he and his missus, who's played by Michelle Dockery, and if you are a Downton Abbey fan, you will thoroughly enjoy seeing her do the absolute opposite of Lady Mary in this as Rosalind. She is really hysterical. And so Fletcher is trying to, he says to Charlie Hunman's character, I'm going to sell my story to the tabloids, or you can pay me out. But here's how it goes. And he begins to relate the story of Mickey Pearson selling his business like a movie script. So it almost tries to be a bit sort of a guy selling a Guy Ritchie script to someone else. So that's his sort of twist in this one. But by and large, it really is, if you're a big Guy Ritchie fan from 22 years ago, when he first made Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels, you will enjoy this as a sort of trip down memory lane. It really is very much back to his roots. And it's enjoyable. I think it's a bit long, but that's often the same problem with writer-directors. They don't get that second needed eye to trim.
I have a soft spot for Guy Ritchie, particularly the genre of film. So I enjoyed it a lot more than I think I should have.
I think I'm like you. I actually also quite enjoy, you know, I have very fond memories, you know, of that movie back in 1998 and of Snatch, which followed it in 2000. They were very pivotal movies for me. They were a different thing. So I agree with you. I think perhaps you and I are kinder. I think going in cold on this one might not work very well. If you don't True. Know the genre and you don't know Ritchie, probably don't.
True. And what I also enjoy about Guy Ritchie, which is what I used to enjoy about Woody Allen when he was still making very good movies, is that he'll assemble a cast of actors who individually are extraordinary, and then as an ensemble, just bring about a different delight. I mean, you've got Colin Farrell, for example, in a role that is so unlike him, delivering it with aplomb. You're going, wow, I'm really enjoying this.
Absolutely fantastic. His role is just fantastic as well. I agree. That is one of his strengths, is bringing together quite a different kind of cast and just getting fantastic performances. And Hugh Grant is just wonderful in this. And I agree with you. And Henry Golding, who's of course up and coming, if you remember him from Crazy Rich Asians, he's just great as the sort of Chinese mafia wannabe head in this. And you're right, that is one of the great joys of the film, is watching all these fantastic actors put together really fabulous, and they all look like they're having a whale of a time.
I was about to say,
always helps.
I was about to say, every frame is just, he's thought of it, he knows what he wants, and the actors are just wanting to deliver. And I could just imagine these boys, because I mean, they're men, but they're boys, really, sort of getting together after each take or after each day of filming and just hanging out and having a lot of fun. And it comes Absolutely. Across on the screen.
It does.
I really enjoyed it.
Yes, it's good fun. I mean, they made it for $22 million, and so far worldwide it's made $102. So, you know, it's paid for itself, and it can afford to enjoy the rest of its ride around the cinemas that are open.
Exactly. Gail, thank you very much. It's lovely to have you back. Gail Edmonds, Managing Editor for the City Press, reviewing The Gentleman, which is the latest offering from the British director Guy Ritchie. There's a lot in it that is old school, as Gail was reflecting, but a lot of it that is enjoyable. It's a genre that he does very well, and it's an assemblage of incredible cast of actors who really seem like they're having a lot of fun.